Yo, 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 welcome to NS9 Live. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Tyler, we got Jim. It is the night before opening day, fellas. How's everyone doing?
I'm doing excellent. I can't wait for tomorrow. It's a holiday.
I'm tired. I'm cold. I'm sick. I want everyone to know I'm playing hurt. Just so
this
we know,
is I'm fighting through.
It's Tyler's flu game tonight.
It's my flu game. I'm tired. I'm cold. It was snowing. I don't feel like I've slept in a week. Actually, probably 2 weeks now. I'm battling. You know, that's all you can ask for of a team player like myself. I do what's best for the team. I'm here. I do it for the North Shore 9 family.
This is giving me all the 2020 vibes all over again. Jim's in a good mood. He's happy. I feel like people are going to like him, enjoy him tonight. Tyler's all angry and miserable. You know, for a while there, it's been kind of switched. So this feels right.
I'm cold and I'm tired. I don't feel good.
Well, I'm doing okay. And, you know, as Jim pointed out, tomorrow is a very good day, even though it's the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we understand that they're not going to be a good team this year. It's a better team. It's an improvement. There's things that we've talked about, we've liked. But again, like it's opening day. It's opening day, fellas. And I know you all saw the Pirates video they just tweeted out tonight. Well, maybe not Tyler, but nope. Jim definitely did. And if that doesn't get your juices going.
Oh, yeah. I love every year they do one of those opening day videos. And every year it gets me. Just hits me deep. And it gets me, like, excited. So, well done at Pirates.
Yeah, Jim was crying.
I teared up a little bit, not going to lie. You give me Kutch, Mac Miller, and opening day. How can you not cry a little bit?
Because I'm a man.
There's no crying in baseball. Jim.
Yeah, you loser. But for this is like the high point of the season. There's hope. The only way that it gets better is if you start 1-0. Because then you're on pace for 162-0. If you lose the first game, the season's over. This is the high point.
Even if you do win, for many people, season's over. Doesn't matter.
Fair.
JT Brubaker is injured. There's forearm strain. That's not the best of news. So season's already over and they're 0-0. Hayden asks over under, I drink one beer tonight. Hayden, how old are you?
I'm going to guess the over. Regardless. Regardless, it's the over. I don't know, though. Hayden's like one of those Gen Z names, though. Like, there's no one over the age of 24 named Hayden.
I know a few Haydens. And to be fair, they are spelled like that Hayden is. I've seen – nope, you nailed it, Jim.
Jim 24. Nailed it.
Season 24. Well, I'll just say this. That's Mike's. Hold on. He moved up. That picture you have there, Hayden, that's a little sus. I don't know. That's not a 24-year-old there. On Twitter, a little bit different, but that one, I don't know. Okay, so if you're 24, I'll definitely take the over, as you just confirmed. Ooh, Harley's giving you some shit. Yeah. Her brother's name, Hayden, and he's 27. You know what?
Give or take a few years. There's always some give or take.
So the thing is, your brother's the trendsetter.
Here's the thing. I think it's all determined by how Hayden is spelled. Like, it's spelled like a normal Hayden right there. If it's like H-A-I-D-E-N, something like that, that's Gen Z all the way. That's like a 16-year-old.
D-Y-N at the end.
Well, hold on, though. If you're 27.
You're still a Gen Zer, yeah.
Yeah, you're still a Gen Zer, so yeah. I was just a little off. That's just an early Hayden. Like a 27-year-old Hayden is, yeah, like you said, like a trendsetter, early Hayden.
The over and under on how old you have to be to have the name Hayden, 27 and a half. Our first projection.
Yeah, definitely under 27 and a half.
There it is.
Yeah.
But see, Thomas Hayden Church from Wings, but Hayden's the middle name. They're smart enough not to go first name there.
Hmm. Fun fact, one of my baseball players yesterday thought I was 35 years old.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, though. You look it right now.
You do. You look rough. Like, you look
beat. Tired.
You look like life's hit you hard today.
Life's hit me hard for the last 3 days. Tired. I'm fighting through it, you know?
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do. Someone give me an IV. I'm going to put up 60. We're going to fight through it.
Swish. All right. Well, should you start fighting through it? Do we want to get into the show?
Let's go.
Tonight is our over and unders, what we talked about. And we have 5 apiece to discuss, which means there's going to be 15 projections that we're going to talk about. And knowing us, that's going to take 2.5 hours. So we might want to get into it.
Okay.
No, yeah. So how are we going to explain kind of how this works? You know, I mean, for the newbies.
No.
No. Okay. Well, essentially we're going to do it anyways. Each of us are going to give,
that sounds like the entire Bradenton trip right there.
Each of us are going
to, hey, you
give,
guys want to do this? No.
All right.
All right. Well, we're going to do it anyways.
We're going to do it anyways. Now, so we're going to each give 5 over unders on different things, or, you know, around the Pirates. And the other 2 people are going to say over or under. We're going to keep track of this. We're going to revisit it at the end of the year, and we're going to see who the winner is. I'm pretty sure I've won each of the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. You can check the tapes.
All right. I don't know if you won or not. I'm going to say you didn't.
I think I did.
Nobody cares, Jim. But yeah, let's get into it. It's going to be a fun discussion. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay, Jim, you go.
Well, I mean, you asked the question.
I got it down, too.
All right. We're going to start off with Andrew McCutchen.
Okay.
All right. Andrew McCutchen, over under.
You didn't pick your projections before the show, did you?
No, I literally
you're making them
just
up right now.
I'm looking at his FanGraphs page right now, and
you're an ass. As we go, ill-prepared Jim Rosati.
So, over under Andrew McCutchen, 108 weighted runs created plus.
That's a good number. Is that his 2016 weighted runs created plus?
You would know.
He was at 105 in 2016. Yeah. 10, what did I say? 107?
You said 108.
108. 108. 108.
All right.
I'll go first here. I'm going to take.
No.
Oh my God.
No. Actually, time out. I have to change this. Jim, you're an idiot. Make it 107.5 or 108.5, because if he hits 108.
Okay. No, you're right. 107.5.
Okay. Now you can go.
Okay.
I'm going to take the over, and really I'm only taking the over here because I think they'll use him better than he has been in the last few years, where he's probably going to get a few better matchups than normal. So I'll just take the over here. 107.5 is not a huge number. Like, we're just asking him to be 10% above average, and in the role that they should be asking him to play, I think that's very doable.
Yeah, I got to go with Tyler too. I'm going to take the over also, just because I don't think he's going to be the everyday player. We've already talked about why we like the Andrew McCutchen signing, much like how we like it with Santana, you know, with the shift and such. There's opportunity that he'll get better in that regard. So I'm going to take the over also. But that's a very good number. Like, if he's sitting right at 108, I feel like that's about right. So he could also sit at 107, and I think we'd all be satisfied with him doing that, but he's still under. So, but I'll take the over just to at least I know I'm at least tied with Tyler right now. Strategery.
There you go.
Strategery.
All right. So you're both over on that. And feel free to comment what you would say in the comments there too, over, under. Let us
know. Yeah. Like Bucko Mike actually said under. Shockingly.
Yeah.
Is it but shocking?
Cody said always over. And Kenny says he would never bet against Kutch. There so yeah, go. let us know what you're at. Okay, so let's just go around the horn then. So Tyler, you're next.
All right, I'll just go to our boy here, and I'll go with Ke'Bryan Hayes. And I'm going to go with the home run number, the one we've been talking about with him. I will set the number at we'll go with 14 and a half home runs. I think Steamer has him at 12. We'll go with 14 and a half here just because we've seen a little bit that might be make us a little more optimistic. So 14 and a half over under here.
Okay. So I guess I got to go first here. I'm going to say Graves actually tweeted out last night, you know, the home run projections. Some of them has a little facetious on. You know, I did say Cruz would hit 77. Also said Austin Hedges would hit -3. I think Austin Hedges might actually hit -3, though. But I did go – I forget actually what I said about Hayes. I guess between us in the group chat and, like, the few times I've been on the post game and maybe we've talked about him even on the show, I'm buying into the Hayes hype. This is one of the things where, you know, you hear he's done something differently. You're starting to see the results. It's not as if he just showed up to spring training and, like, he's batting .330. It's like, oh, well, spring training numbers, right? Like, there's a fundamental change in what he's doing. He's pulling the ball. We already know he hits the ball hard, but he's pulling it now. He's hitting into the air. And, I mean, hey, like, Tyler, we talked to Neil Walker, and Neil Walker's all for it, so I'm all for it. I am going with the over. I'm not going, like, all, like, you know, Hayes is hitting 25 bombs, but I feel like 15, 16, 17 is something that's pretty doable right now. And he's hit, what, 4 in spring training? I mean, we know the wind's blowing and stuff anyways, but regardless, like, he's hit 4 in, like, 30 plate appearances or something like that. So I'm buying into it.
And let's all remember, this is a guy that has 18 career home runs in 3 years. Well, like 2.5, but.
And he's also an injury risk. So, like, he could find the power but still play 80 games and have 14
and
home runs.
He's always looked good in spring. Like, it's just something, like, he loves it down there. His career spring training slash line is 363, 394, 679. He's slugging 679 in spring training in 168 at-bats. Like, it's not even really that small of a sample size. He has 11 homers in 74 spring training games. So
he has almost as many home runs in 3 months as he does in 3 actual seasons.
Yeah. So, he loves spring training. So we've seen some good things out of Hayes. I think he could be a sneaky, like, 2020 candidate if he can figure out that launch angle, which, you know, so far so good in the spring. He hits the ball hard. He's always hit the ball hard. It's just a matter of hitting the ball in the air to his pull side now. So I think he's going to take a step forward this year. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Ke'Bryan Hayes ends up being this team's best player. From he's the MVP, like a 5-WAR season. Like, I could see that coming this year. So I'm over. I think on my projection that I put out last night, I said 15, and that was like being real conservative. So I'm going to go over.
So all of us so far are on the same page.
Everybody is very bullish so far.
Yeah, we need to get some unders up in here.
Tim, you make a good point, too. Like, he could definitely be the MVP of this team. And that's the one thing we talk about. It doesn't take much for him offensively to do so. And we're only talking about like 15 home runs here to hit the over. It's not like you don't have to be a masher to hit 15 home runs in this day and age in baseball. You know, like, that's what we're asking for Ke'Bryan Hayes. Like, hey, can he hit 15 home runs? It's not like we're saying, hey, he's going to hit 30.
Yeah. All right. Cool. DiNardo, you're up.
All right. So I guess it's my turn here. So I'm going to go straight to it. We're gonna talk about our boy, Kanan Smith and Jigba.
I didn't take that because I knew you'd want to.
Only because a few things. The Eric video where he pretty much trashed and said he'd be good in Korea. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the power. He's also talking about spring. We're talking about a guy who's hit the ball hard, but not so much in the air. Spring, he has 3 true home runs, 4 that's gone over the fence. So Kenyon Smith at Jibco, I'm going to say it, he's made the opening day roster. 9.5 home runs for him.
I'll go first here. I guess this is going to be my first under. And I think he has the capability to go over that. I'm just not quite sure how many plate appearances he's going to rack up over the course of the year. So I'm going to go under, but like if I had to pick a number, like that 9.5 is a good number. I'm thinking like right around 8, like 8-9 home runs is probably where he ends up, but good number. I'm going to go under though.
Yeah, I'm with Jim here. I think if you give him a full season's worth of at bats, he's obviously way over that. I think he's probably a 15 home run a year type of guy with a full season worth of at bats. I just don't know that he's going to get that many because this still is a pretty crowded outfield. And I got to see it in real action. I got to see him lift the ball in real action still.
Yeah, I mean, last year between AAA and Pittsburgh, I mean, it wasn't a whole lot, but 225 plate appearances, he had one home run. He's hit one home run above AA in his career. So,
now, if you told me, gave me like a 360 on base percentage for Kenyon Smith and Jigba, I'd take the over.
Honestly, that's why I went with this, because it's like, it's two-sided. It's not so much just the actual, like the power shows up. Mm-hmm. But also the playing time, which is going to be interesting for another over and under I have.
Well, if he's putting up a 360 on base percentage, he's going to get the playing time. I'll tell you that right now. If he has a 360 on base percentage and he's not an everyday player by June.
Yeah, we could easily be talking like the 360 on base and 380 slugging.
But I mean, it's kind of like a player having like an 800 something OPS that's like top 10 in the NL, but still only having like 17 home runs while he slugs over 500. You would think you'd have more because you'd be playing every day if you're putting those numbers. But anyways, I digress. Okay. So yeah, so there's mine. So Jim takes the under, Tyler takes the under. We're still just matching up.
We need some.
It's going to be a three-way tie to end of this year.
Yeah. All right, we need some differences here. Let's go to Andy Rodriguez. Andy Rodriguez. Over, under. Over means he's called up after the date. Under means he's called up before the date. Andy Rodriguez called up to Pittsburgh June 14th and a half.
June 14th and a half. I love it. So he's called up at noon.
June 14th and a half. So if he's called up June 14th or earlier, that would be the under.
He's called up at
if
noon.
If he's called up June 15th or later, that's the over.
We should June do it that way too. We should. You should make a time. June 14th, 5 o'clock. When the announcement strikes. All right. I guess Tyler goes first.
So under would be before that, correct?
So June 14th and before would be under.
Okay. I'm actually going to take the under here. I think he does get an earlier call up, but I think he gets immediately sent back down maybe a day or two later. And then they just push it back a few more days for Super Joe.
Okay. Which is very likely to happen.
I like think that's the most likely scenario because of the catcher situation right now. It's not great.
That's a good point. Although, do we know what this, I could just be lost.
No,
because you want to know currently flipped. Is Heinemann still in the organization, or is he about to go somewhere?
Heinemann's still in the organization.
Okay, I'm going to take the over.
So after June 14th,
I'm going to take the over.
You just want to be different.
This is the first time we're going to differ on something.
Yeah.
So this is my way of taking the edge. And I mean, if we're going to bet on the Pirates, I'm going to bet on service manipulation. And I'm comfortable with that. I'm very comfortable taking the over right now.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to be a true Rowan-y thing.
So what you're saying is that the Indianapolis Indians are going to enjoy a few months.
No. Yes.
Tyler Heineman's going to get most of the starts.
We'll get it back.
And he's got to work on his pinch hitting, you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Got to get some – him and Henry Davis getting some work in the outfield. All right, am I up here?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, Jesus. What if Jim Tonya Harding's hedges could be big under?
Here's the thing. If I'm Tonya Hardinging anybody, it's not going to be hedges. Like, I think he's a very capable backup catcher. So he wouldn't be the one I would be Tonya Hardinging.
Sorry,
Jason. Sorry, Jason.
Sorry, Jason. My apologies to Jason.
My man is finally earning a paycheck, and Jim's going to take out his knees.
But if I had to pick, well, here's the thing, too. Like, he still gets major league service time, you know, if he's on the IL.
So, and then, yeah, then he gets to sue you.
Career. I mean, he's a catcher, too, and you're taking out his knees. All right, let's move on.
All right, I'm going to go with the guy that we have bantered over all spring here. And I'm going to go with Jack Suwinski. Jack Suwinski, 220.5 batting average this year.
Under.
Over, under.
Under. I don't think you can strike out as much as he does and have a batting average above 220.
Just 220 is the hard cutoff there.
Yep. That's the cutoff.
Yeah. That's the hard cutoff where he's done.
Yep.
So if I would have said 219 and a half.
219 and a half, I probably still would have gone under.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bucko
Mosch. God, this is going to make
going me opposite of everything. He is projected at 223.
I differ from you.
Zips actually likes him more. Zips has him at 243.
I could play the strategy here. Again, I've differed from Tyler. I could stay with Jim because I'm unsure with this one. So, you know, no loss if he goes over or under.
But what do you think? What's in your heart?
Yeah.
But
don't pander.
I feel like how what Jim's saying, I feel like he could strike out that much and still have like a 225, 230 batting average. So again, and also too, like, nothing is going to really favor him, but again, like, we imagine the balls in play are going to, the average is going to go up a little bit this year. No shift. I just hate to, like, I don't want this to be the hill I die on to try to beat Jim, but I want to beat him. So maybe I'll just go, I'm going to take the over, but I'm not very, very confident. And I don't think he's mad 240 at all, anywhere near that.
I think he could hit in the 220s.
Praying for a 221.
Like, 220 is not.
I shouldn't say that either. I should say I'm praying for a 220 batting average on any player on this team.
I'll say this, with the new shift rules, 220 is definitely in play. I don't, because we don't know exactly yet how that's going to translate. Like,
right,
220 next, 220 this year could really be like what 200 was last year.
Right.
I mean, batting averages may just go up.
I don't know if it'd be that drastic, but right. I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like, I feel as if 220 isn't going to be what 221 was, you know, was last year, but it's still bad.
I mean, 20 batting like average points.
He might
points.
Also get very streaky and hot at some point in time.
Just 20 points
overall.
Just a 20 point raise in your batting average is two extra hits over 100 at bats.
Yeah.
So like, does the shift give you two extra hits per 100 at bats?
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Yeah.
Okay.
For the record, can we just give a shout out to Smitty? I just got a text from him telling me that I look so young next to you two.
Dude, you look 30.
You look like you just got home from like a 12-hour shift at the steel mill.
And that's that.
I'm the middle. Anyways, bitch. I'm Beyonce here.
Okay. She's 40.
Yeah, and bad as can be.
Okay.
She doesn't look 40 Adidas though. So I mean, get let's see. She doesn't look 40 though.
All right, so should we move on?
Yes.
Now, Tyler Smith, hold up. You messed it up. I'm sorry. You can't be in the middle because you're ruining our rotation. I can't keep track.
Okay, so I think I'm up now, right?
Stop it.
Fine.
Who just did the Jack Sawinski? So, no, I'm up.
Correct.
Okay, so here's my next one. Just so you know, I picked 8 because I was afraid like all this overlap. I had a Sawinski one. I'm going to hold on to it if no one else picks another one. So I'm going to go back-to-back Sawinski. So I'm going to go to my next one. Did we do something? Okay. All right, here. So my next one. Okay, let's go pitcher. Let's do Mitch Keller, of course. Okay, this is a yearly thing with Mitch Keller. A little bit different here. Just put a thought out there. Mitch Keller, 21.99% K rate. If I recall doing this, he was at like a 21 last year. So a little bit of a bump from last year.
What was the number again?
21.99%. I guess
he was at 20.1 last year.
Okay.
That's a bit of a jump.
You want to go with this one, Tyler?
Yeah, I'll go first. And you know what? I'm just going to believe in the variation of the pitch mix that he's added here and kind of throw out that first part of the season last year and think that he can go over on this one. I don't love it. It's one of those you just grit your teeth and take it. I'm over.
Okay.
All right, I am doing some quick math here.
So how many more strikeouts does he really need?
All right, so from May 13th on, which is when he rejoined the rotation last year after being in the bullpen for a couple of days, 20.4 K rate from May 13th on, 20.4. So you're saying 21.99?
Ooh, that's it. You did jump that.
I'm sorry.
I will go over. I think Mitch Keller strikes out more than 9 batters per 9 innings this year. I think the strikeout rate takes a pretty good jump. Mitch Keller over.
See, I got aggressive with that, and you both took the over. It was a good number. And I purposely kind of went a little bit more aggressive with it because of what we are seeing with the pitch mix, like you said, what we're seeing this spring.
He looks good. Stuff from Mitch Keller. He's attacking people. The pitches look good. It's like a perfect recipe for Mitch Keller to just break out this year and like be the pitcher who we kind of hoped that he was going to.
For sure. So again, I talked about the Hayes hype for me. I got Keller hype too. I really, really do. It just smells of a season where he puts it all together. And I'm not talking like Cy Young or, you know, top 10 pitcher or anything like that. I'm just talking about this guy has solidified himself as a major league pitcher. And he can be the mid to top of the rotation. I like a lot from Keller. So, all right. So you both took an over. So we're going real, real strategic over here.
No, we don't need strategy. We just look at it. We have good brains. We figure it out.
Okay. Let's figure our next one out.
All right.
Jimbo's up.
O'Neill Cruz. Let's talk about O'Neill Cruz.
Over. Find what he wants to talk about.
Over. Over. Under.
Over.
Yes, Jim, we know it's the over and unders. You don't need to stall to fill dead air.
27 and a half errors.
Oh, Jesus. Over.
I was thinking about this one as well, but I couldn't think of a good number for it to throw on.
27 and a half.
Yeah, I'm taking the over. What did he have last year, like 15?
He had 17.
17, yeah, over.
In 79 games.
He's going to have 30 years this year, at least. Now, granted, good first base play can't save a lot of that.
Do I sense a major injury happening to Cruz this year?
That's the only way you're taking the under.
I hope for no. So I'm taking the over for errors also. And again, it's just going to be part of his game. I don't think he is a completely incompetent shortstop. But much as we talked to, like with Tatis as well, I mean, Tatis makes his errors, but he also makes incredible plays, and that's why he can fit there in the offense. You'll love that from your shortstop, even though he's now the right fielder due to his injuries. But I will take the over as well for Cruz, but by no means does this mean like Cruz is a terrible defender in my eyes. You know, here's the thing too, and I'm still taking the over, but here's something to consider, Tyler. He did have 17 last year, but that was with Josh Van Meter at first base. If there's one thing, you know what, Jim? I do like this number because you and I talked about this at the spring training game. And of course, it was that game that we talked about.
And then he immediately threw a ball into the stands.
Like literally 5 minutes after, right?
It was 5 minutes after you said it. No, this is a funny story, by the way. So DiNardo, this was the Orioles game on Saturday. And he goes, you know what? O'Neill Cruz has had some pretty good throws this year. Like I haven't really noticed any bad throws from him. And no lie, within 5 minutes, he just sails one. Into the Lee Com, like the mesh netting behind first base. It was pretty funny. This is
what you get from North Shore 9. Just like Ryan and I were talking about today in the chat. Like as soon as we came to existence, the Pirates' good run just ended 2015. But no, that is something to actually consider. That's why I kind of do like this number because I could see Santana and Choi helping them out. So like the 17 of last year, would he have had 13 with them there? So does that translate to maybe I feel like that's a good number. I'm still sticking to the over. I feel like I'm more safe that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got to take the over there. But
well, I mean, how many games do you think he's going to play at shortstop?
A lot, because there's really not many other options.
I mean,
yeah, 140.
Yeah.
So like last year, just for – you know, shits and giggles here. He had an error every 4.65 games. So if he does the exact same thing over 140 games, so it means he doesn't get better, he doesn't get worse. That's 30 errors.
Kenny correct. Says he's having a 30-30-30 year. So, and I can see that.
But if he gets a little bit better.
And he can. He absolutely can.
He's under that 27.
Okay. All right.
I'm going over, by the way.
Yeah, he's going to make errors. Like, he's going to make you want to pull your hair out.
And then just cry because he hit a 550-foot majestic home run.
But really, you guys were just talking about airmailing a throw after. DiNardo, we just talked about how much better he had been at the plate and not striking out this spring, and then he strikes it like 10 out of 15 at bats.
That too. We did. He had, two strikeouts at that point in time?
And then he just struck out like 10 times in a row.
Yeah. That's what we're good for. We should become a Cardinals podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just start.
You know who looks really good this year? Jordan Walker.
Jordan Walker. Excellent. He's just going to kill it. Yeah.
It's magnificent.
You know what's been great? Year. How healthy Adam Wainwright always is.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go.
Who's up?
I'm up. I want to go pitchers here, but I'm going to stick with hitters. I'm going to go with my guy here. I'm going to go with Travis Swaggerty. I'm going to go with over under. Let's go 3.5 defensive runs saved.
In Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I needed to clarify.
And I had to just come up with a number there trying to do some mental math, and it wasn't great.
This is tough.
Um, This is tough because I do not know. Like, if we may see Travis Swaggerty for 4 games this year, we may see him for 80 games this year.
Is he being dangled for a reliever right now?
Also a good question. You know what? I'm going to go over. I think he's probably the next man up when it comes to the outfield situation. And, like, they're going to need another outfielder at some point just due to injuries. I think he'll get close to that, you know, maybe not 80-game mark, but, you know, 40 to 60 range maybe. Like, that, I could see that happening. And I think he's good enough defensively that he can get 3.5 defensive runs saved. So, over.
All right. I'll put the over for you.
That's a gamble, though. The under is definitely the safe pick here.
Well, then I'm going safe. I'm going with the under for multiple reasons. The Pirates had the opportunity to say, we don't have a competent defender, so we're going to call Swaggerty today. This outfield, let's go back to the Kane and Smith at Jigba talk. This outfield's crowded. Again, you can argue the talent that's really, really out there, right? But regardless, it's crowded. You have Reynolds, at least for now. You have Kutch for the little bit he'll get out there. You have Connor Joe. Kane Smith Jigba has already made it. There's potential of Bay getting sneaky outfield, you know, at bats and starts. There's still nice a Cal team. Mitchell out there that, like, and then there's why, like, they had the opportunity to say we prioritize defense and that's why we're going to pick him over whomever else. They didn't. So, again, that tells me what they told me last year, that they don't have a whole lot of faith into him. I don't know if I see 80 starts, 80 games from him. I don't think I see anything near that. I would bet more on the 4 games than the 80 games. So I am going to go under, and I think this is much how you guys talk about the home runs with Kane Smith and Jigba, just opportunities. I don't think he's going to get many opportunities. I think he's honestly best suited for this team as a trade chip. That's probably how they look at him.
But I think
definitely not going to return much.
Definitely the safe pick. Like,
I think we can all agree if he did get the opportunity, though, the 3.5 is an easy number for him.
Yes. If he was on the opening day roster, I would have taken the over.
Well, I wouldn't have said 3.5, you dumb.
Okay, fine. What would you have said?
I don't know, like 6.5.
Okay, it made me think. Because how long is he going to stay
right
before he gets demoted? Yeah, I'm taking the under.
I mean, 3.5 is a good number for an outfielder, too. Like, that's pretty good outfield defense.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that, like, Sawinski played a pretty good outfield last year, and he was only at a 2.
He was a 2, yeah.
Plus, Mini makes a good point. Travis Swaggerty isn't around the 4-1-2 athlete. Zero chance this is over.
What's around the 4-1-2?
I don't know.
I've only heard of around the 7-2-4.
All right, so that's another one Jim and I differ on. So we're getting some changes now.
I took a risk there.
Yeah.
Okay,
but so you know what? It's a risk that can really pay off if one injury, and I think that hits the over pretty easily.
Or a Brian Reynolds trade.
Right.
Yeah. Unless the Reynolds trade brings in something that's it. We'll be ready today. There goes Swaggerty's chance again. All right. So I'm going to do something a little bit different here because I feel like we want to talk about the same players, and there's some overlap. So here's the route I'm going to go because we know this bullpen's very – very bad. Still, we saw the opening day bullpen right now. And there's been some intrigue on this guy. I've been somewhat intrigued. So I guess I'll put this out. This isn't a David Bednar one. This is a Colin Holderman. 4.5 saves this year. So I think that's some implications that could mean some things about David Bednar.
I'll go under. Under. One, I think Bednar stays healthy all year. Two, I don't think the Pirates trade Bednar this year. Three, I'm just not as high on Colin Holderman as everybody else. Like, I think the dude is just a guy. Like, he's a guy. He could be DFA'd come June. Like, yeah, he is just as much of a No, he has just as much a chance of doing that.
No, that is one of the dumbest things you've ever said.
All right,
Colin Holderman is not getting
DFA'd. He's got options available. So he could be option.
Will not be
like, that's a that's
could
a
be option.
That's a Brian Cornell take right there. Like that's just stupid.
No. Okay. Not DFA. He could be in the minors come June. I have no faith in the guy whatsoever. None.
Okay. I'm gonna take the over because Jim's a big dummy. I do think that I think they do insert him into that eighth inning role and use Will Crow more in a proper role for what his talents should allow him to do. And the way they manage their bullpen is just weird in general. So I wouldn't be shocked if Holderman just gets some random saves here and there. And then Bednar goes out there, throws 53 pitches against the Cardinals in 3.5 innings. And they have to use Holderman in a few save situations. Granted, this is all like dependent on whether the Pirates are going to win like 70 games or not. Because if they're going to win 60 games, Colin Holderman's not getting any saves.
That's the other thing too. Like, I mean, just because he may fill in for Bednar every now and then, like how many opportunities are they really going to get?
Oh, good Lord. Colin Holderman is not Zach Thompson 2.0. Colin Holderman can actually throw over 92 miles an hour.
Jim Ranzotti.
That's pretty good. Right, that's a good
Jim
one.
Jim took the under and Tyler, you took the over, correct?
Correct.
I like it. If I were to choose, I would take the over as well.
Also, we might just get some weird save situation type deals anyhow, where he blows it, where he makes it a save situation himself.
There you go. He's so bad that he saved the game.
He might blow a save and get a save. I don't know.
There you go.
I don't think that's possible.
I know. Like, he could very easily turn it into a save situation himself.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So Jim,
you're up now. One of the other scrubs in the bullpen turns it into a save situation and they bring in Holderman.
All right. So this one's going to be a little interesting here. So last year, 36 players pitched for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
This year, over under 29.5 pitchers used for the season.
Well, they're already down. I mean, we already know JT Brubaker's on the IL, so there's already a situation brewing.
Garcia,
Brubaker,
Stevenson, Garcia, Brubaker, all on the IL.
Yeah, I think
29.5.
This is an easy. I'll just go. This is an easy over. We like a lot of the things the Pirates did.
So bad. God, I can't think like, of a year of that.
Like, let's be okay. But we do like a lot of the things the Pirates did with the rotation this year. They didn't add a lot of durability to it. So I'm going to go ahead and take that over. They added some vets, but they're not very durable.
Yeah. What we talked about that we liked what they did this year, though, I think was more on the offensive side. Like, they didn't really do a whole lot of that on the pitching side, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't like they brought in, like, four or five established vets. I mean, it was Rich Hill, who's the Quintana, and then I guess Vince Velasquez, like, this is the second one, who's whatever. So, like, I don't see that on the pitching side so much. It was more or less like we have this crop of guys coming up. And that's the other part I want to talk about here is – not only these injured guys couple right now that's filled in with whoever this hodgepodge of relievers that they have on the opening day rosters today, but you're going to have guys like Luis Ortiz coming up, Burrows coming up, maybe Quinn Priester. Like, there's some prospects that are going to make their debut this year. So they're going to be forced to use more pitchers in that sense. So, like, I feel like there's a bit of like what Tyler said, there's not a lot of good pitchers or like reliable ones, but also there's other pitchers that they're going to be pushing other guys out. You want, like, unlike last year where there wasn't pitchers you wanted to see come up, you know, it was just more junk. They're going to make way to introduce more pitchers to this. So I'm going to go. That's such a close number, though, because like 30, I'm going to go over
30 different pitchers. I'll say if the Pirates have to use 30 or more pitchers for another season, I'm going to lose my damn mind. I just like, lose my mind.
By the end of April, there's going to be a big change. I just feel like by the end of April, it's going to be like 20-some.
I mean, by the end of April, we're already at 15. They're already going to use 15 arms.
So yeah, you're double, telling me they're not. That means are you gonna get an entire brand new rotation and bullpen for the rest of the year?
Close. Have you seen the bullpen? Have you seen the bullpen? You have, because I saw your tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully, yeah, a lot of those are out, and a trade deadline happening. And like, right. Yeah, I do.
I'm with you.
It's on that end. It's not there yet for stability.
Right.
You're seeing the offensive side get there. I don't, it's, to me, this is like a year away from a stable type of pitching unit, if that makes sense. Probably not, because I said it.
All right, am I up?
Their guys aren't here yet, most of them.
Let's another talk.
All right, Tyler's turn.
No, you big dummy. I'm up. All right. I will go with Rich Hill as a Pirate, 13 and a half starts. No, at 14 and a half starts. I don't like 13. I want 14. 14 and a half starts. For the record, Jose Quintana, I believe, had like 20 starts as a Pirate last year. I think we believe Jose Quintana is a lot more durable than Rich Hill, obviously. Where are we at with Rich Hill here?
So I will. I think the durability thing with Rich Hill is a little overblown. I mean, last two seasons, Rich Hill has started 26 games in 31 games. He started 57 games in the last 2 years. So I think as long as, like, if the Pirates keep him until the trade deadline, I'm going over. I think he'll be in that like 15, 16 range.
He is like 43 years old.
Yeah,
he is.
Now, he won't last long in those starts. Like, you're not going to get 7 or 8 innings out of Rich Hill.
I probably should have went with the innings here.
Innings would have been more interesting.
But I didn't want to think that hard.
But I'll go over 13. Did you 13 and a 14, half?
14.
14 and a half starts. I'm going to go over.
To, I guess, piggyback my train of thought too. Like, I know he's 43, but like, I just feel like too, like, most of his injuries aren't as if like he has this problematic shoulder and like he's just breaking down. It's just he throws so nasty that he gets these blisters. So like, I don't foresee like, okay, this is the year that Rich Hill just breaks down and he can't pitch anymore.
He's old.
He is old, but Leonardo, like, so
it's
so,
like having a guy 5 years older than you pitching. And okay, you're not gonna pitch.
And oh god, who is the pitcher we're talking with Justice about that you
Jamie Moyer?
Not hit him? Yeah, Moyer. So it was Moyer.
Oh, I'm taking him yard.
But Moyer was just a crafty dude, like, just like Rich Hill. Like Rich Hill, okay, here, he's Zach, as Smitty just said, 88.5 his fastest pitch. Like, he's not out there, he's just a crafty dude. I'm gonna go over as well. I feel comfortable with that. I'm gonna go over. Is it my turn?
Yes. I think is this our third or is this our fourth that we've done? How many have we done?
That was my fourth.
This is your fourth.
This will be Denardo's fourth and then
all right, so we got one more round.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. So here's what I'm gonna go with then. Go back to the outfield. This is the one I want to talk about. Kind of goes back to Jim, like what your thing was. So back to Swinski, 109.5 games played, over under, not starts, just games played.
109.5?
Yep.
Over.
I was very confident.
Yeah, I'm going over. Like, I think he's not as an everyday player like he was last year, but I don't foresee an instance where they like demote Jack Sawinski for like 2 months.
Because what if he's just not good.
No, I you're right. And I predicted under 220 batting average, so we could We could be there.
Yeah. That's why I'm kind of shocked, because he has an under 220 batting average. It's probably not good.
I'm going to go over, though.
Ooh, that's a hot take by Doug. He says under 50.
Well, Doug really
Doug loves Swaggerty, though.
Swaggerty and Kanan Smith and Jigba. So I don't think
he 22 home runs for Kanan Smith and Jigba, 15 defensive run saves for Swaggerty. Under 50 games for Swinski from Doug.
I was a 15 defensive run save. That'll like give Swaggerty a gold glove.
He will get one. 80 games played. Tyler.
I'm going to go with the under. Just because it's going to help my cause whenever it's April like 25th and I'm jumping on these post game shows and whining that I want Swinski sent to the minors. Because I know it's happening. It's coming. He's going to be hitting 140, striking out 40% of the time, and I'm going to jump on here and complain about him every day.
Fair. I think, and I look at it this way too. I like this, again, this outfield, not about like it's not talented, but it's crowded, and he might not end up being an everyday player in that aspect. I very well can see, like, Kanan Smith and Jigba. Right, Brian Reynolds, if he's still on the team and such, Connor Joe getting a bats, like all these other, like, he's not gonna be an everyday player.
Here's what's gonna happen at one point too. Here's what's gonna happen a lot though. Like if he's sitting, let's say he sits against lefties, right? Like he's gonna come in, he's gonna pinch hit for Connor Joe, you know, against a lefty.
True. Against a righty.
So like that's gonna count as a game. So he may not be an everyday player, but he's going to. He's going to get a lot of opportunities, especially against right-handed pitching.
Do you think he'll get DFA'd?
No, he will not get DFA'd.
I thought that was a reasonable question. That's good interview stuff, Smitty.
Yeah.
If you had a podcast, you could incorporate stuff like that. All right, who's up now?
I'm up.
No, Jim is.
I'm up. Oh, this is my last.
Oh, never mind.
So is this my last one?
No, nope. Second to last one.
No, this is the last one.
This is our last one. This is my last.
Did you start?
I started.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. So we haven't talked about Roansy Contreras. So let's talk about him. Over under 2.0. Over under 1.95 WAR.
F4 B WAR.
That is a very good question.
That's a good question. That's a good question. F WAR. 1.95 F WAR.
Who's going first?
What was that number for WAR again?
1.95.
1.95.
So is he a two-win pitcher, or is he not a two-win pitcher? At age 23.
Man, this is tough.
That's a hard one.
It really is. We know Tyler's not the talkative type, so I'll talk for him.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
We all like Roansy. We are NS9 fans of Roansy Contreras. Mm-hmm.
For just let you know, Zips projects 1.9, Steamer projects 2.0.
Such a Rosati thing. God, this is tough.
You know what? I'm going to go with the over here mainly because I think we're going to see the run environment increase a good bit. And if he can get enough innings, I think he can get to that number. I don't really foresee a breakout season for him yet, but I think he'll be very close to that number. We did see him at a 0.8 last year, I believe.
0.9.
0.9 F4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. And that wasn't that many innings. A lot of it's gonna, A lot of it will have to do with the innings limit that the Pirates put on him. But if he can keep that FIP around a four number and he throws maybe 140 innings, I think two is a reasonable number.
It's such a good number. Like, this is just fine piece of work from Jim, just looking at Steamer and Zips, you know, and just piggybacking off them to do his work for him. But yeah, like, I'm with Tyler. I'm worried about the innings. Just any pitcher you're worried about. Ronzi's one where you're a little bit worried until, like, he starts really doing it. He could also be a reason why the Pirates have 30-plus pitchers pitching, right? So that's part of it. God, like, I just feel like that 1.8, 1.9 is in, like, sweet spot for him right there. Still a good jump, still improvement. And that way, like, next year, you see more like the breakout you're talking, Tyler. Yeah. Now he's become like a 2+ war pitcher and such.
God, and I,
Tyler,
and I,
have we differed yet?
I don't know. But I feel like that 1-2 like F war numbers, kind of a dime a dozen. It's when you get above that where you start to see the real dudes.
Like Pablo Lopez.
Like Keller, for example, last year was 2.1.
Right.
So, and like, is he really
good year. That was a good year.
So, like, is he going to put a 2022 Keller-like year up? And he threw 159 innings.
Now, which is why I also added that I think the run environment will help Ronzi a little bit here, because I think we will see more runs, bit higher ERAs from some guys.
I see what you're saying. Right. Oh, man, this is tough. I'm going to go under. Just we have differed before, Tyler. I'm going to differ again here. I'm going to go under. Take the strategy out. Yeah. Oh, God.
Now, if you gave me B-War, I think he does hit that.
I agree. And that's why I said, too, B-War, I'm going over.
I ain't go B-War. Oh, but real quick before we get to the next one, Smitty here says Jeff Passenbaum. So
what happened?
If you're not on Twitter, breaking, a deal is in place between the minor league players in the MLBPA and Major League Baseball on the historic first collective bargaining agreement for minor leaguers. Union officials tell ESPN. Deal is 5 years and includes at least 2x pay at all levels of the minors.
I don't give a shit about that. Fresh, this is the day that Brian Reynolds was supposed to get signed.
True. I will say, when I saw that and he started reading it, I was starting to get kind of giddy inside. I was like, oh, did it just happen?
I know. Well, when he said it, I was like, yeah, Reynolds would be nice there. But but yeah, so if you're a complex league player, you go from, this is astounding, you were making $4,800 a year in the complex league. That now goes to $19,800. Low A and high A both go from $11,000 to $26,000 and $27,000. Double A, $13,000 to $30,000. Triple A, $17,000 to $35,000. So there you go.
Nice. It's still, like, you know,
it's still probably not enough. It's not, well, it's not enough, but
right.
You're but in the complex league there, and you're making $18,000 a year. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're getting there. Oh, well, cool stuff. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
Over and all under, right. How many minor leaguers get cut tomorrow?
What if they just cut half the players? All right. Okay, so Tyler is over. DiNardo is under 1.95 F4 for Contreras. Yep. Okay.
So, Tyler, right. You're next. This is your last one now, too?
Yeah. Over under 4.49.5 ERA for our guy, Vinny Velasquez, as a Pirate.
4.95?
Yeah.
4. Say it again. My bad.
4.4.
Okay.
95.
4.495.
Yeah. 4.495.
Okay. That's why I asked. That's why I had written down. But I thought Jim said something else.
Yeah. Right before 450.
Who wants to go first?
I just did.
You go. Over.
Over.
Vince Velasquez has not had an ERA that low since Barack Obama was president.
Is this a Miguel Andujar thing again?
Like, just a quick glance here. Barack Obama was the president the last time Vince Velasquez had an ERA under 4.50. I'm going under. Here's the deal.
Talking about a 4.50 ERA. That's not that great.
I think, and this is why I say this. I'm saying this because for some weird reason, the Pirates the last couple of years have had success when they've like gone out and they've identified these like really meh guys and bring them. Yeah, we're not going to count Trevor Cahill.
We just pick and choose.
Yeah, we are. No, I'm going to count Tyler Anderson and Jose Quintana. Yeah, I'm going to count those guys. So I'm going to say like this is like a bounce back year for Vince Velasquez. Under
is he bouncing back from
being bad?
This is a bouncing breakout year.
No, it's a breakout. He's bouncing. Year. He's bouncing back to the Barack Obama days. So he bounced. He bounced down, and now he's going to bounce back up. Under. Let's go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've won. I didn't realize this could be this easy. Jim is taking the under.
I told you I was in a good mood. Good mood going into this. Vince Velasquez. Yeah.
Taking the under on Velasquez.
Best like, year and, since 2016.
And especially, like, especially this year when like I just see ERAs going up. Like how Tyler was talking about. Not that I think like he's going to be one that's directly affected. It's not like if he's like this ground ball pitcher who makes a living off of that. I mean, he does strike people out per se somewhat. But yeah, it's Vince Velasquez. This is the reason why we didn't like it. So if you didn't like the signing and you don't believe he belongs in the rotation, how the hell do you think he's going to have under a 4.5 ERA? I don't get it.
You know why? Because I watched that video the Pirates tweeted out like an hour ago. And it just got me all hyped up. So you know what? Vinny V, breakout season.
Mr. calling out everyone on their propaganda falls for the propaganda tonight. Actually, thank you at Pirates. You've sealed victory. It's D-Day, DiNardo Day. All right, cool. So I guess not that I need to put one out there because I won, but I'll give my last one out. Who do I want to choose from? Because they've all been said before already.
You should be original, me and Jim.
What's that?
Me and Jim didn't repeat anything.
Yeah, you've done two Sawinski ones already.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I did one.
No, he copied me.
You just copied it, yeah. You copied Sawinski.
First off, I'm the only one who had original things. You guys all just looked at fan graphs and looked at steamers. I've had mine. I'm the OG of the OGs. But no, yeah. I'm going to do this. This one's different. We've never done one, I think, like this before because they've always been specifically like on players.
No, because ours are good.
Shut up.
Okay. Why don't you find a dolphin?
So let's do this. We all think O'Neill Cruz, we all like him this year. Brian Reynolds is Brian Reynolds.
Oh, he's another breakout,
be the MVP. Mitch Keller, David Bednar. Like, of all the bad things with the Pirates, there are some good things that we like about the Pirates this year. So I'm going to go on a limb. Maybe not just having the token year this year. 1.5 All-Stars represented by the Pittsburgh Pirates this year.
Hmm.
Ooh, look at you.
No, I'm not even really thinking about it. I'll go over because I think Cabrian Hayes has a good year. Enough to be an all-star, and I think at least one more guy is going to be
more than Arenado.
Well, there are more than one third baseman on an all-star team, you dumb dumb.
Yeah,
and also like Manny Machado exists,
and
Austin Riley,
and
okay.
I mean, do you want me to just keep going? I can just keep naming more.
Brian Hayes exists.
He does. Okay.
But like, really, Bednar will probably make it. And I think Brian Reynolds does have a bounce back if he's still here. There's enough guys that they could get to. Like, okay, they had Frazier and Reynolds on them, all-star team, and they were like the worst team in baseball.
True, but I mean, Frazier had a ridiculous
year. Yeah, someone will have
year, a ridiculous, and Reynolds is Reynolds.
Right. They'll get to.
Who also had his best year.
They'll get to. It'll be fine.
All right.
And then they'll both get traded. Yeah. Thank you, Doug. Not to mention CSN and Swaggerty.
Does like home run derby count, or are we talking about all star team?
Does home run derby? Well, Cruz is in. No, yes, actual all stars. This is in.
Okay. No, I'm gonna go. You know what? I'm gonna go over on the 1.5. I think I actually don't hate Hayes there. I think Reynolds goes. Like I think Reynolds is an all star. And I think one other person between.
Someone get on Twitter, by the way. Keep going. Keep going.
What? Oh, I said, I think Reynolds goes. And I think one of Hayes, Cruz, Bednar, and Keller go.
I also think that Cruz just has enough hype around him that he just has to be slightly above average. I can't see that far.
The problem that Cruz has, and I mean, we'll get to this Reynolds thing, but the problem that Cruz has is there are a lot of really talented shortstops.
Yeah.
Especially in the National League. So, you know, you got to imagine you probably got to be a top three shortstop right. at least. And like, as good as, like, I mean, he can definitely do that. Like, I'm not saying that's not possible, but there's a lot of good ones out there.
I like it. I thought this was a really good one.
I get what you're saying. I just think, like we spoke about last year, the media loves O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, they do.
So all he has to do is just be slightly above average, and I think he's got a spot.
Yeah. No, I think he's a good shot of going just because, yeah, he's going to be the most popular player on the team.
Right.
So that's there. And then I do think, like, a home run derby, like, that's why I brought that up. Like, you got to invite Cruz to the home run derby. Like, I mean, it's just he hits the ball so hard. Like, you got to do it.
If he's not going to be a good MLB player, he's going to be a mainstay in that home run derby. Just be, again, like, it's the good, the Joey Gallo effect. Like, you want to see that. So I'm with you.
But like, just to kind of go back with Bogaerts moving to San Diego. The top six shortstops last year in WAR are all in the National League now. Top six.
And shortstop's such a loaded position right now.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it. All right. Well, that completes our over-unders. So we'll have those on the site here at some point in time. So cool stuff. I like it. So I guess... Before we get to the Mackey stuff, because we can talk about that here in a second, the last thing to talk and end this with is our actual win prediction. So we can put that on the site. And for everyone out there who hasn't yet, go ahead and tweet at us your win predictions as well, because the winner will get a Pirates jersey at the end of the year. That's all out there. But yeah, so I guess, where do you guys at? Where do the Pirates end this year in wins? I think mine's already on the site. So if you want me to go first...
Yeah, go first.
Yeah, you go.
I'm pausing because I forget what it is. I think it was 72.
Oh, good Lord.
So I'm going to keep such going.
Child.
But I'm saying 72. That's kind of where I'm at. And I feel safer. I know we were talking about aggressive, like, can 75 happen? And I think it can happen, of course. But we're already, like, down JT Brubaker. We already see this bullpen. So now I'm feeling way more comfortable with my 72. But that's where I'm at. 72 wins this year for the Pirates. Definitely some improvement, but like, this team still isn't anywhere near complete. Still a lot of holes. There's still Andy Rodriguez in the minor leagues and an Austin Hedges, Jason DeLay combo in the majors. So 72 is mine.
I said 74. I'm going to stick with that. I was thinking about deducting a couple games once I kind of saw this bullpen and what it looked like. But I'm going to
But then you figured Holderman's going to have like 5 or 6 saves.
We figure that. And then you also figure Vince Velasquez bounce back year. So
exactly.
True.
So I'm going to stick with 74.
Best since the Obama administration.
I'm going to stick with 74.
Well, I've been saying on here that if they don't get to 75 wins this year, heads need to roll on this coaching staff at least. So I'm just going to go with 75 here. I think there's enough talent on this roster to get them to 75. Do I think they'll get there? Probably not, but I think that's what they should be at.
So there you have it. 72, 74, and 75. Am I correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool, cool. Do we want to get into the Mackey stuff then?
Let's do it.
So I did put it up here, but and again, like we talked about, today was the day, right? Reynolds extension day. It's now 10:15 p.m. Nothing has happened. If you listen to the podcast, it's already happened. And hey, old news for you guys. But as of 10:15 on March 29th, it has not. But Mackey, yes, tweeted out here. So plenty of conversation today on the Brian Reynolds front. Deadline viewed as first pitch tomorrow. Both sides have moved. As you'd expect, seems like genuine interest in getting something done. Has been discussion on structure of deal. Should be a fascinating next 18 hours. So I guess to go back to like last year, right? The Brian Hayes extension kind of came out of nowhere. It happened opening day. A couple hours later, got injured, but whatever. It happened opening day. is it going to happen? I mean, Mackey's tweet seems pretty, I'm not going to say optimistic, but there's actually work done. It's not just smoke.
No, I don't think anything gets done. I think Reynolds has at least like a number in mind from like a minimum standpoint and a year standpoint. And I don't think the Pirates are going to meet it. I mean, just straight up, plain and simple. I think, you know, you've got to go with, you know, at least like a 6-year deal, right? And I don't see it happening. I don't think the Pirates are going to meet the number that the Reynolds camp needs to be at. And I think a lot of it's going to have to do with the years.
And yes, Kenny, they have extended Brian Reynolds extension day to tomorrow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm with Jim here. I don't think it gets done. And also, unfortunately, on top of that, I think that means we have about 3 months to enjoy Brian Reynolds.
Okay.
Let me just play safe here. Yeah, I just got all negative on that. I was in a good mood. Because, I mean, I think like 8 years, 125 gets it done. I just don't see the Pirates going that long.
Let me then ride the hopium train. So I would say, to quote Neil, and I can't find his message, but this is the last night for some hopium, right? Until the Pirates crush your dreams tomorrow. I've been on board like this isn't happening. But I guess to me, there's been a lot, it seems like some motivation, and nothing to this point that we've heard from anyone else or whatever leads me to believe that it's going to happen. But it just seems like with Heyman and Mackey, like there's been discussion more and more, you hear more. And then again, with this one coming out now, like there's real progress of some sort. I don't know where it is. Like Jim's saying, they could say, listen, okay, fine. 675 is no good. Okay, cool. We'll do 70. We'll do 7 years for 95. And that ain't getting done either, right? But I think I'm with you too. Like, even though Brian Reynolds has said, I want 8 years, 130, does 8-120 get it done? Maybe he says, you know, okay, hey, I like Pittsburgh. You know, I like Pittsburgh. I'll accept that. I got my years and such. I don't know. Maybe what they just say, 7. Let's do 7 years, and there's something. Maybe go Pirates get a little more average annual value in there, but they're only at 7. That's what they're comfortable with. And maybe Brian Reynolds says, fine, right? I'm making more money per year and such. I'm going to say yes. And I also feel this too. There's no reason the Pirates can't do 8 for $130. Like, there's just absolutely no reason they can't do it. It's absurd that we're at this point. And they need to say, cool, sign this contract for $8 for $130. So because there's no reason they can't, because the outfield depth we talked about, there's a lot of players, but not real talent. Like, this is the person they need in a position they really need some skilled player for. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say it gets done. I'm not going to bet on what the contract terms are, but I feel like both will be at a point they're comfortable with, and the deal gets done. So there it is. So come tomorrow at 4:11. Y'all can call me dum-dums, and nothing probably will change. But I'm going with yes.
Yeah, I mean, I hope something gets done. Reynolds may even accept something like 7-105. I don't know, but I think that 8th year is pretty important.
I feel like it's got to be like a 7-110 type of deal. Mm-hmm. Like 105 in seems like it's got to be like, okay, I'll settle for it. Still is the 7 years, but I'm getting paid a little bit instead of 8 for $130, 7 for $110. You know what I mean? That's still a deal.
So am I the only one that gets the sense here that it's just the Pirates camp putting out all this information just for when this doesn't go through that? Oh, we tried, guys.
It could be. History that points definitely, that definitely that's a very good observation.
Yeah.
I do think I think Brian Reynolds wants to stay. I think the Pirates want to keep Brian Reynolds. It's just a matter of, are they willing to go? I got a
cramp in my calf.
Yeah, it's just a matter.
I can't wait to clip that. Every time someone goes on the IL this season, I'm going to send that.
That was good.
It hurts so bad.
Man, cramps suck too. Like, I hate cramps. Like, there's nothing worse than a cramp.
we got to end the show. Holy shit. All right, I think I'm good.
I don't even know what I was talking about anymore.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
Tyler's crying. There's no crying in baseball, Tyler.
Oh, that was funny.
All right. Reynolds better side. I didn't endure this pain for nothing.
Oh my god.
Anyway. what were we talking about?
Brian Reynolds. Like, I think both sides are willing to move a little bit, but I don't know if Reynolds is able to. I don't know if Reynolds is willing
Ted
to
Ted Lasso's
give up
on the night.
8 years. Yeah. Yeah, I watched Ted Lasso earlier while I was eating dinner.
I gotta watch 2 episodes now. Okay. Well, then there it is. So you guys say no. I'm gonna say yes. Mm-hmm. On top of everything I just said too, like, I just feel they've screwed him over too often and whatever. I mean, I know it's the Pirates that we shit on the front office and Nutting and all that, but like, Nutting made it a point to say, like, this is bad, let's give him an offer, and they gave him that 2-year deal they came together with. I just feel as if, like, Nutting better just be smart. Like, listen, like, we need this, let's make it happen, and it gets done. I don't know. That's it. We'll find out in 18, 17 hours, whatever it is. But hey, guys, first pitch tomorrow, what, 4:10, right? Or 4:12? No, that's the other.
4:10 tomorrow.
4:10. Yeah. That's the Pirates home opener. So 4:10 tomorrow, opening day's upon us. I'm excited. Hopefully get even more excited with an extension. And something even more for us to talk about on the post-game show, Jim, you and I tomorrow after the game. So stay tuned. We'll be live as always now, what we do after every game. Tyler, look like you're cramping too.
No.
We're okay. 30-year-old
Tyler just wants to go to bed.
No.
We out of here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to bed. Tomorrow's a big day. Reynolds extension day.
Let's go, Bucks.
Yeah, it's just a matter. Like, I think Brian Reynolds wants to stay. I think the Pirates want to keep Brian Reynolds. It's just a matter of, are they willing to go? I got a cramp in my gas.
Hey, you all, thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go, Bucks.